Spirit Radio Podcasts.
On the line for this week's home and lifestyle tips, I am joined by the one and only Therese Davey. A very good morning to you, Therese. You have your eyes, as always, peeled for what's out there.
What's out there, and what's out there is something, the first thing I'm going to say is a multifunctional light available in Lidl. It's a plug-in light that we have in our house in Sligo, and it's great for little visitors, for children as a kind of a light night or monitor for them to get around at night if someone needs to get up in the middle of the night. It's a night sensor, it has a motion sensor, it plugs into the wall and you can detach it and use it as a torch. It's one of those really, really useful things to have that every home should have. $11.99 in Lidl at the moment.
Very good and very handy, as you say. Just get your hands on it. Yeah.
And a really strong light as well. It's not some kind of flippant little kind of pea-sized light. It's a really good light and a good torch if you want to use it as a torch. Centra have loads of healthy options, including vegan Magnum ice creams and vegan Goodfella pizzas. Seems to be a very common theme in all the shops at the moment. Vegan or vegan food on offer. Green oil cauliflower rice, which is getting very popular at €2 a bag. And they have all the meat and fruit options. And as usual, keep looking at your local shops. They also have good savings, as does Super Value at the moment, which has good food offers and vegan offers as well. And they have a number of Food Academy products. One of them is in front of me. It's Dr. Coy's Good Chocolate. And I got this at the craft fair, and it really is good. It tastes good, but it is good chocolate. It has less of the bad sugars in them. They found a new way to make chocolate. But more interesting in Super Value is they have baby offers. And you were talking about this last week, the value of all the great baby offers out there. But they have a free gift bag for every mum if you text the word SuperValue to 5400.
Oh, I better do it right now. 5400. Free gift bag. I'm honest.
5400. And my website of the week is centra.ie. It's got loads of tips and recipes, particularly if you're on the operation transformation and you're on the healthy diets for the month of January and you're looking for new ideas. Centra.ie have recipes and they even have workout tips and workout videos. So they're trying to get us healthy in all kinds of ways there. So it's might worth a look at.
Okay, so what about our job? Yeah, what do I got to do this week?
Dead easy. We had some very, very bad north gale winds at the weekend in Sligo. It's so much so that I thought we were going to lose electricity. And I said to Dad, where's the torches? Let's check the batteries. And have you got those long candles? And I went and found them. We took a torch each. So your job of the week is to check your batteries in your smoke alarm and your CO2 alarm and the torches in the house. One, the one you have in the car and the one you have at the back door. And check and see if you got a few long candles. And I say this every year in the winter prep. It's long candles, not the pretty smelly ones. They're not so good when the house gets dark. They smell nice, but they don't give off great light. You need long candles if you ever need a power cut. And don't give me the excuse, we don't have a candelabra. No excuse at all. All you need is an empty jam jar for a candle, really.
That's it. So basically, as you say, no more excuses. Just get on it.
Yeah, absolutely. Check those batteries. And it's a long time since I did 10 alternative uses for anything or 15 alternative uses for anything. So I decided to pick one today.
This is one of those things, Therese, where people might have a little smirk when you say, the best uses for today, which you're focusing on, is aluminium foil. And then you look at the list and you go, really? Wow.
Yeah. First one, when your brown sugar gets all a bit rock hard after Christmas, you bought it to make something nice and now it's rock hard and you want to use it. Wrap it in tin foil into the oven for 5 minutes and it will soften. You're making cupcakes, you don't have a bag and the children want to put some nice icing on the top in swirly patterns and you don't have a piping bag, make one out of tin foil.
Do it yourself.
And it's fully disposable. Likewise, your silverware looks a bit dodgy, the two pieces you have, and you don't want to go off and buy a tin of silver cleaning fluid. So into the sink with a bit of tin foil, put your silver on the top of the tin foil, mix some salt and baking powder, baking soda, mix them up, throw it over the silver, boiling hot water, leave it for 5 minutes, and you get nice shiny silver.
And it's cheaper and more environmentally friendly by the sound of it.
Absolutely. If you're stuck with some kind of really, and this is the one I always love, next to the ones I always love, if you're stuck with something on the bottom of your saucepan or on the bottom of your skillet pan, you know, the edgy cast iron pans, and you can't get it off, ball up a bit of tin foil and use it as a scrubber. it can make, it's an abrasive, the sharp edges. And it's really clever if you don't have a scourer, if you don't have any of those metal scourers and you need to clean something.
Do you know what? And it's interesting just in terms of actually using stuff, because a lot of the time, obviously, if you're cooking a roast or something, you might use tin foil for it part of the time, you know, covering meat or veg or whatever. Mm-hmm. And when you pull that off, you can just scrunch it up and use it as your scouring brush, so it's been used twice.
Absolutely. And I used to see my mum actually washing the tin foil off the top of some of those things when she was keeping food hot, because it was clean, and she'd use it for something else then maybe later on in the week. But another one is sharpening your scissors. And I say this, people laugh at me, but it does work. Scrunch up your tin foil, fold it a couple of times, and keep cutting it up small with your scissors to sharpen the edges and the very corners of your scissors. They're hard to sharpen, but it really, really does. And you can add that to your job of the week. You can use it if you're baking and you don't want, if it's like an open tart and you don't want the edges to burn because you've done all the nice wee finger work and you made it all look pretty, but they seem to be browning very quickly. Cover it with tin foil and put it back in the oven and let the baking continue, and it'll save the edges and the finer edges on your pie crust. Making a funnel. See the picture on this one? This is really clever. I'd never seen this before. You want to get liquid or hot liquid into a jar and you don't have a funnel and you're afraid of splashing it out. Make a funnel out of tin foil, insert it in your jar or bottle, and pour your liquid in through that. Very clever.
So you're basically making a little cone shape that you put over it, essentially.
Exactly, and then it's fully disposable. We've all tried the fish in the tin foil with a bit of lemon and parsley and salt and pepper. That's really easy. Put tin foil pouches for cooking food. Covering food. I mean, people just sometimes cover the top of the dishes if they want to keep their food warm because it's reflective. It reflects the heat back into the dish. But if you wrap the whole dish in tin foil and make a whole parcel out of it, it stays warmer. And you can use, that's the tin foil you can use again that Mum used to wash. You can line trays with it and it prevents kind of spillovers. You know, lasagna sometimes. And I see that Aldi actually have the bottom of the oven liners are on sale in Aldi at the moment. I forgot to mention that one. But in the meantime, if you don't have an oven liner, the tin foil directly under the lasagna dish or under the stew dish or under the apple pie tartlet tray, it'll stop it spilling onto the rack and onto the ground, and you can wash that again. And here's one I never heard before, and it's really, really clever. If you're growing seeds indoor, and I see seeds are beginning to creep into the shops, a bit early yet, but they are, germinating your seeds in a shoebox lined with tin foil, you get the reflection of the heat and the light, and it makes them grow faster. Never heard of that one before.
So you've made your own little shoebox greenhouse, essentially.
Absolutely, and a bit of cling film on the top, and you have the glass house lid. The next one is clever. What do you think of the one with the door handle, Wendy?
It's certainly one I wouldn't have thought of, that's for sure.
No, and very simple to do. Painting doors, painting cupboards, and instead of putting the masking tape all around the door handles, get a bit of tinfoil and just scrunch it around it and save your doorknob from getting paint on it. Very simple. If you ran out of freezer bags, double up on the freezer heavy duty tin foil, and it won't allow air to go through. It'll keep the flavours in and the smells of other foods out. You can use it for bread and tins and casseroles and all kinds of things if you don't have a freezer bag. And the one you mentioned, the very, very simple one of lining those tins and lining those roasting trays and tins with tin foil in the very bottom, so when you're roasting your turkey or your pot roast or whatever and it's all done, you just pick up your foil and you're done. No
and
scrubbing
up,
at all.
Yeah, no scrubbing. Which I like the sound of trays, I have to say. That's
making life easy. Absolutely. Make life easy with tinfoil is what we say this week.
Therese, you've managed to make tinfoil exciting for us this morning. That is a real talent. Thanks for joining us on the programme this morning. As always, Therese Davey joins us just after 10 o'clock every Monday for home and lifestyle tips. Well, just this past Friday, US President Donald Trump agreed a stopgap bill to reopen the federal government for 3 weeks, the purpose of which was to give breathing space for negotiators to discuss the issues that had led to the longest US government shutdown in history, having started on the 22nd of December and totaling 35 days. So the question is, will this be a temporary reprieve for government workers, or will the tensions between the President and the Democrats controlling the US Congress lead to further breakdowns? And with two politicians claiming to be the leader of nearby Venezuela, can the US president be a player in bringing out some sort of long-term solution to the long-suffering citizens of that country? These are some of the topics we'll touch on today with our next guest journalist and former Time Magazine senior correspondent David Aikman. David, good morning.
Good morning, Wendy.
Let's talk about the US shutdown first. What brought it about in the first place?
Sorry?
What brought about the US federal shutdown in the first place?
basically because the House of Representatives would not approve President Trump's proposal for $5 billion to be spent on a border barrier or wall, as it's sometimes called. And he just refused to accept that.
So what, in terms of how common this is, does it happen much that the government shuts down?
No, it doesn't. It does happen in most administrations at least once, but it's usually a relatively brief affair of a week or 10 days. This is the longest one in history, I think 35 days.
Why was it so long? Was it just because President Trump wasn't willing to shift?
Well, basically, Trump was insistent that there was a real, both a humanitarian and a security crisis in the southern border, where not only sort of ordinary illegals were getting in with their families, which, okay, that's unfortunate, it's not a major offense, but there were serious issues of women being trafficked, tied up with rope, shoved in the backs of cars with duct tape over their mouths to stop them screaming. I mean, it was really a blatant case of criminal kidnapping across the border. And he was very struck by the security agents who guard the border, by their account of the terrible situations they had to deal with. So he was personally invested in getting this barrier or wall built. But unfortunately, the Democrats, from his point of view, were simply unwilling to go along with it.
So in terms, David, then, of the temporary deal that's now currently in place, was it a compromise? And what do you think is going to happen next?
It was a compromise. It gives some breathing space to both sides, both Trump and his opponents in the House of Representatives, to try to figure out something that basically not only gets the government running on a sort of semi-permanent basis, but deals with the primary needs of both sections, both Trump and the Democrats. The Democrats obviously want to have an amnesty for the DACA people, the Dreamers, the so-called children who, well, they're not so-called, they were children brought in by parents illegally. And the President Obama basically gave a temporary amnesty for millions of these people, and the Democrats want to extend that amnesty under the Trump administration. But Trump is certainly quite opposed to this.
The question is then, David, is this going to be the first of more shutdowns?
Well, I think it's certainly possible. It depends how much Trump wants to dig his heels in. One of the effects of the shutdown was a decline in his general popularity. There was certainly a significant majority of Americans not only blamed him for the shutdown, but were against it in principle. So he doesn't have the grassroots support that he would need to be able to have weathered the storm and sort of put up with the shutdown for several more days before the American people said this is just unacceptable.
Let's move on then, David, to Venezuela. In general, it's probably fair to say that Donald Trump has been reluctant to get too involved in major foreign policy actions, but the current situation in Venezuela is just one that can't be ignored. Why has the US president given his backing to the opposition leader, Juan Guaido?
Well, I think because the country is in such desperate straits, it's probably the most incompetently run country in the entire world. And not just from the point of view of the efficiency of governments dealing with regulations, but people are literally starving. They're trying to get food out of garbage heaps. They have to traffic even their own daughters and so on into foreign countries for prostitution in order to get food enough to eat. the average Venezuelan has lost, by one estimate, 27 pounds in weight because of an inadequate food supply in his diet for the last 2 years. It's an absolutely chaotic situation. And if, you know, if it's not resolved in some way, hopefully constitutionally, then the country could easily split up into a catastrophic civil war. I mean, 10% of the country's population has actually emigrated to neighboring countries because the situation is so desperate there.
In terms of Nicolas Maduro, is he likely to go quietly, though, David?
No, he's not. I mean, I think, of course, he's now supported by Russia and China and, of course, Turkey. It's just, Turkey is always on the side of despotisms that seek to keep dictators in power. But he's got the Organization of American States, most of the Hispanic, the Hispanic communities and nations in South America and Central America are completely against Maduro and have been willing to recognize the National Assembly President Juan Guaido as the person who should take power, because they think that Maduro has simply gone too far and has produced a major humanitarian danger for his nation.
So what do you think, David, might happen next then?
Well, I think the real issue is what does the military do? What Maduro has been able to do is been able to keep at the top of the army generals who are not only supportive of him, but in some senses complicit in a fairly corrupt system of paying off people who back the president. But the junior officers are much closer to the people, and they probably hold the balance of power in the military. And so the real issue is, will any of the rising officers at lower levels run the risk of bringing the country into civil war by opposing what their superior military officers tell them to do? So that I think is the key to how the country goes in the next few days and weeks.
David, thanks so much for joining us on the programme this morning for your thoughts on those two items. That was former Time Magazine senior correspondent David Hakeman giving us his thoughts on the shutdown in the US and indeed the current situation with Venezuela. Looking at the seven deadly relationship sins, looking at mistakes that we can make which might prevent us from meeting the right person. But in her Finding Someone Special toolkit, she's also called the 21 dating mistakes, one of which you might be surprised to hear is not enlisting the help and support of family and friends. So what does that mean? Well, that's what we're going to talk about today on the line to tell us more. We've Catherine Gray, director of Heavenly Partners. Catherine, good morning. Okay, so let's start off just telling us what the 21 dating mistakes are all about.
Good morning, Wendy. Lovely to speak to you. Well, there are things that people unwittingly do that really prevent them from meeting the right person. So there's a whole variety of things. But we like to turn them into a positive. So we call them a negative in terms of the 21 dating mistakes that you can do that will not help you with your dating future. But actually each one is turned into a positive. That's something you can do. So we like to use the negative, but then actually make it a positive so people are aware of things they can do.
Okay, so today we're looking at this idea of looking to family and friends for help and support. So what does that mean? Is that kind of looking to them to help you, you know, perfect yourself or to help you get set up with someone? Or what's the thing we should be asking family and friends to do?
Okay, so our family and friends, our network of people that we have in our lives, all know single people. One or two, probably every single person you ever meet in your life knows one or two single people. And enlisting the support of your family and friends is going to them very purposefully and saying, do you know anybody that's single and can you introduce me? Now, it's not going to your own circle of friends, because the chances are you've exhausted their contacts. But it's thinking very purposefully about every single person that you know, acquaintances, friends, people in church, people in your social groups, people you play bowls with, people you go out to the pub with, people you work with possibly, and your family, and purposely saying to them, I am looking to meet someone, I want to get married or be hitched up with someone. Can you think of anybody you know, and would you introduce me to them so I can go on a date with them? But it's doing it in a way that's sitting them down and saying, I'm really serious about meeting someone, and I would really ask you to think about this carefully, and I really want your support. It doesn't have to be a long conversation, but it does have to be a serious conversation. It's not just like in the pub with your mates and say, do you know anybody that's single? Because they'll think about that for all of like 1 minute, and then they'll move on to the next topic and they'll forget. But if you sit down with them purposely and say, I really want your support, that is the way to do it. And when you don't do that, you're missing out on a huge number of people that could be introduced to you but aren't being introduced to you because your family and friends don't really realise that you're single and you would really like to be with someone.
I think that for a lot of people, they get that idea, Catherine, but they'd probably be a little bit nervous, especially when thinking of the wider circle of friends, you know, like you said, someone in, you know, your tennis club or whatever. So they might be people that you know, but you don't know them that well, and you might be nervous about kind of, you're making yourself vulnerable really by saying, you know, I really like to meet someone, can you help? What's your advice there for people who just would never have even, that just is taking them outside their comfort zone basically to
well,
do that?
You've absolutely hit the nail on the head. This is a really big deal. This is definitely moving out of your comfort zone. And as we say, everything that you really desire is often outside of your comfort zone. So this is for people that are going to be really, really brave. And this is for people that can think, do you know what? I'm going to do everything it takes because I know that goal of finding someone and being with someone is so important to me and it's what I want that I'm prepared to put myself out there. And actually, a lot of people, when I discuss with them, go, oh, I couldn't possibly tell everyone. That's a really big deal. And I want to keep the fact that I'm looking quite quiet and quite private. And I say to them, that's fine if you want to do that, but you're missing out on a great opportunity here. And it's about saying, you know, if I meet that person, how wonderful is that going to be? It's going to be so fabulous. Actually, I don't really care what I have to go through to meet them. And the reality is that it's a bit like going to counselling if you've got some problems and you go to counselling. You're really scared to tell people, but when you do tell people, A, people aren't that interested, and B, people probably tell you that they're going as well. And it's not such a big deal. Lots of people think, oh, it's a really big deal to tell people that I'm going to counselling, but actually it's not. And the dating is exactly the same. You've got it in your own head that it's a really big deal to tell your family and friends that you're looking for someone, and that therefore you couldn't tell them. But actually, our experience is that when you do tell them, people don't fall over in shock. Generally, people say, yeah, we'd be delighted to help you. And they think it's a really lovely thing that you've asked them. And if they're the one that introduces you to your someone special, they will be doubly thrilled and doubly pleased that they've done something so wonderful in your life. So it's really getting over your own hang-up about it and going, do you know what? The goal is bigger than my feeling of discomfort of moving out of my comfort zone.
It's basically,
and I can assure you, once you try it, it's really worth it.
It's worth taking the risk. And have you found that, Catherine, over the years, just with various different clients who have had exactly that reaction of, oh my gosh, taking me out of my comfort zone? And then when they ask people for help, is that people actually really want to help, and they kind of get kind of, I certainly love matchmaking, that's for sure. I love the idea of when I meet somebody new that I then find out if they're single, and you know, I think, wow, they might really suit such and such a person. I'm quite proactive on the other side of things, but people are probably more than willing to try and help.
Absolutely. I think that is the reaction. I mean, I work very closely with a small group of people, and this is one of the things we've said to them quite early on, enlist the support of family and friends. And it probably takes a couple of months for them to get what I'm saying and to try it. And what's so beautiful is when they come back to the group and they go, you know what, I told three or four of my closest friends, and yeah, we got a fantastic response, and they're on my case, they're looking out for me. Now, I would say three or four is not enough. You need to be thinking 20, 30, 40 people. We call it a bit like telemarketing. If you make 200 calls to people, you probably get 20 people saying yes to whatever you're calling them about. So if you were to ask 200 friends and family to set you up on a date, you'd probably get 20 dates. And that is phenomenal, because where else are you going to get 20 dates from? Unless, of course, you join an organisation like Heavenly Partners, but that's not what we're talking about here. So yeah, ask as many people as you can, not just the two or three, and I think you'll be absolutely surprised that they won't fall over in shock, and they'll actually go, oh, do you know what, I thought you were happy on your own, but yeah, I'd be delighted to think of that for you. And actually, do you know, I know somebody, this guy or this girl, and they'll introduce you.
What about someone who might be concerned, okay, I'm okay talking to, you know, my mate in the tennis club, but I'm afraid that if she does set me up with someone, that then you've got to kind of third wheel, kind of, how's it going, and sending you messages, and what did you think, and that's kind of another layer of pressure then.
Well, yes, I think that is a factor. And I think perhaps you could just say, I would like you to introduce me to this person, and then I will keep you posted to how it's going. And you could even say, you know, I've done this before, and I had quite a lot of pressure, and I don't want that pressure. I will keep you informed, but please don't, you know, don't ask me lots how it's going, because that just puts a lot of pressure on me. And at this stage, actually, I'm just looking to meet lots of people. But if I start going out with them, I'll certainly let you know. So it's just about keeping it quite casual. I think the other really, really important thing to say to your friends and family is, please don't judge the other person and judge them on my behalf. So perhaps, you know, in my case, a lot of my friends would have thought, oh, Catherine would really like somebody sporty. And I know John down the road, but he's really not sporty, and therefore I don't think they'd get on, and I won't introduce them. And it's about saying to your family and friends, don't judge anybody. Just if they're single, that's a good enough criteria. because actually the most, as we've talked before, Wendy, the strangest people get together. And what you don't want is your friends going, no, I don't think I'll introduce that person to them because they wouldn't be suitable. But
yeah,
it's only you that can ever make that
judgment. They're making a judgment maybe based on superficial things or based on what they think you might want. But does it come down to something as simple as this? Especially for, you know, Catherine, there could equally be friends and family listening who, I think we all have people in our lives, whether they're men or single men or women, where I certainly look at them and say they are just wonderful, beautiful, lovely people, can't understand how they're single, and you just need to find someone else who's got another friend or family member just like that and put them together.
Absolutely. And I think if we were all talking to our friends and family, I mean, as I say, we all know somebody that's single, and it's just a question of making those connections. So, you know, my auntie's sister's brother's second cousin once removed probably is perfect for your uncle's second cousin once removed friend. You know what I mean? It's that sort of network that you're trying to tap into. And that's why I say using your own social circle probably isn't the right network, because you've probably exhausted all of those contacts. But trying to think of people quite further afield, people you haven't spoken to for a couple of years, and that is embarrassing, ringing them. But again, you've got to think about that end goal and think, yeah, well, if I could just meet that person who perhaps is in a different county or just in a different social group, then that could be what I'm looking for.
And I think as well, we can't underestimate how much people, as we've kind of touched on already, would actually like to help, and just the actual satisfaction if it does work out, you know, from the person who's recommended a friend that might suit. I remember being at a wedding recently, and in the wedding speech, you know, the bride was thanking the friend who had set her up with this guy.
Absolutely.
And, you know, that wedding would never have happened if, you know, that move wasn't made in the first place.
Absolutely. And I think we have to be careful. It's not setting somebody up on a date. It's just introducing people. So, because you might know somebody, you know, I might know a guy called John who's single. I don't know if he wants to go on dates or not. But it's just a question of saying, you know, I've got a friend, Wendy, she'd like to meet, expand her contacts. She's single. I'm wondering if you would be willing to, you know, to let me give her your phone number, and could she give you a call and just have a chat? So it's not like setting people on a pressurized date. It's not like going on a blind date or saying, hey, I've got this girl, I think you're going to be fantastic, I can see you married. That puts lots of pressure on. It's just saying, let's expand your social circle, and, you know, I'd like you two to meet each other. And it can be as simple as that.
Okay, so what's your advice for somebody listening now who says, okay, I need to do this, I've never done it before, and they're going to have that conversation with that friend or family member? Is it just keep it as simple as possible, or should they be, you know, setting down ground rules, or what should they do next?
Okay, great question. I would say the first thing is to sit down and rack your brains and see if you can get to 100 people. So think of every single person in your life. So start with your close family, then your not-so-close family, then your faraway family, and then your close friends, and then your acquaintances and people you work with and everybody you socialise with, and even, you know, people you meet on a day-to-day basis. Write down every single possible name you can, and then you're going to segregate it and think, right, I'm going to choose the top, say, half of these people to call. And then you want to write a script for yourself, and it's going to be fairly simple, and it's going to be a little bit of a chat, how are you, a little bit about your situation, the fact that you're single and that you've decided that this is the time, perhaps this is the year that you really like to change that, and you really like to meet someone special, and you've got this idea, you're contacting lots of people, but you really thought this person would be a great source of contacts, and you're asking them to think through their contacts and have they got anybody they know that you could that they could put you in touch with. And say to them, look, I'm really serious about this. I'd like you to spend just maybe 20 minutes or half an hour looking through, racking your brains. And I'm going to give you a call in, say, a week's time or 2 weeks' time. just to ask you who you've thought of. So sort of set them a deadline, tell them you're going to call them back, because if you just call them and don't say you're going to call them back, people might just think, oh, I can't be bothered to think about it. But if you say, I'm going to call back in 2 weeks' time, that makes people think, right, I've actually got a, I'm going to have a phone call in 2 weeks' time, and if I've not come up with any names, that's going to be a bit embarrassing, because I'm going to say, well, yeah, I wanted to help you, but I haven't done nothing about it. And then just say, thank you so much. I really appreciate your support, and this means the world to me.
Well,
so it's quite a short conversation.
Yeah, it's a short conversation. And you know what? As you said, it might be a bit nerve-wracking, but guess what? If it's as important as maybe meeting the love of your life, and then really you have nothing to lose and everything to gain. That seems to be the message this morning.
Absolutely. And as you said so well, Wendy, people are really delighted to help other people out. And particularly, you know, so many people are married. So it's not like you're asking them to do something really weird or wacky or unusual or illegal. It's something completely normal, something that everybody understands, and that, you know, people will be absolutely delighted. As you said in that wedding speech, the person that's introduced and the person that's done the introducing are all delighted, and it's a great thing to do. It's a great feather in your cap if you've introduced two people. And even if you haven't, but you've helped somebody along the way, that's a great thing to do. So people just need to get over their feeling of uncomfortableness about it and try it and discover that actually people are out there to help them if they just are.
Well, Catherine, as always, thanks so much for great advice on Spirit Radio this morning. That's the founder and director of Heavenly Partners there, Catherine Gray. And if you want to get in touch with Catherine, she might be able to help get you set up. You can get in touch with Catherine at Heavenly Partners on 01531 4997 or check out the website. Well, it is hard to believe, but thank God I'm going to be telling you the following story, because around this time, 8 years ago, Spirit Radio had just launched. So we were on the air in Dublin, Cork, Galway, Waterford and Limerick. It was 2011. It was at the time when the recession had really hit hard and everybody was feeling it. And everybody was looking at all of us involved in Spirit Radio saying, are you mad? This is never going to work. But we trusted in God's providence and his plan. And so did you, the listeners. So here we are 8 years later celebrating our birthday. And joining with me in the studio to talk a little bit about that, I have our CEO, Rob Clark. It's hard to believe, isn't it, Rob?
It certainly is hard to believe. 8 years ago, there we were just beginning and finding our feet. And 8 years later, we're on air and growing. So it's absolutely a thrill. And we are so, so grateful because, you know, it's a whole fresh approach to radio. It's all about partnership. This is kind of a weird idea, but it's a partnership between the team here and you. So you've kept us on air. Thank you. What a great effort.
Not only are we here 8 years later, because in a huge part to listeners who support us by listening to us, by spreading the news about us and by supporting us financially, but we've also been able to grow. It's incredible, really, you know, when you think of that backdrop of a recession and, you know, other commercial radio stations turning over huge amounts of money, not surviving, and here we are, thank God. But I mean, we have just been able to expand to so many places, from Athlone to Kilkenny to Sligo to Waterford to Wicklow
to Tralee to Wexford, up and down the country. There's still a couple of extra spots we're trying to get to, but we are in about 17 different locations now, so it's absolutely fantastic. But let me just say that, you know, one of the things we're trying to do is we're trying to find a fresh way. That's been our goal, to speak about Christian faith. We keep trying to talk about where Christian faith meets life. You know, it's that intersection. That's what we want to be talking about. You know, it's about our faith in our finances, faith in raising kids, faith in the workplace, faith in lifestyle, faith and recreation. You know, all the time we're trying to see how Christian faith tells us how we can live better lives.
And I think that has been one of the amazing thing over the years, is to be able to give listeners, and indeed so many different contributors, you know, experts from just a range of different fields, whether it's, you know, finance or relationships, where, you know, they'd never had this opportunity to share their expertise with the fact that they have a strong Christian faith, and they get to do it on the air in Spirit Radio. And by doing that, they give other people confidence to talk about it with their family, with their friends, and just to say, you know, this is a really important part of our heritage, but also my life, and can bring a lot of wisdom to so many different elements to our lives.
Yeah, it's absolutely brilliant. You know, one of the other things we're trying to do is we're trying to bring a fresh approach to looking at news and current affairs. Now, you know, a lot of these things, they sound the same, but it all depends on which foundation you start from. What are you building from? And there's a whole lot of news and current affairs out there that builds on the foundation that we as human people are really probably the result of some kind of cosmic accident, slime plus time. But here at Spirit Radio, we start with a different foundation. We believe that we are created by a creator and that we're made in his image and that we, you know, we have a purpose on this planet. We have an eternal destiny and there's something that we're meant to do when we're here. And that kind of guides the way that we look at news and current affairs. It's a fresh approach, and we think it's resonating with people because people tell us all the time, they say, I love listening to your news and current affairs because it gives me a fresh perspective.
And something that for a lot of people, it provides a voice and it provides that alternative that you really won't hear anywhere else. And I think that's one of the incredible opportunities that radio has, especially radio in Ireland. I was only reading today the latest worldwide report on media consumption, and so much has changed, whether it's, you know, the increase in people going online for their news. But one thing that hasn't changed in Ireland is how much people love radio. Something like 83% of people listen to radio every day in this country.
And not only that, the average listening time is about 3 hours, and that's borne out every 3 months when they do, you know, the Joint National Listenership Research. They find out how much are people listening to radio. And even though these other things are going up, you know, people are listening to Spotify, people are listening to podcasts, radio still holds a central role because it's where we track what's going on in the world, what's going on in the country, what's going on in sport, in politics, in current affairs, in cinema, in movies. You know, that's the place where we just kind of track with it. And we just love the sound of the human voice. You know, we don't just want music, we want that sense of connection, and radio does that.
So we have to also say a big thanks. I mean, we've talked a lot about what we have been doing here on Spirit Radio over 8 years, but one of the biggest parts of the team is the listeners.
It absolutely is. You know, like every month we see that income come in from people that have made a commitment. It might be 20 euros a month, it might be 30 euros a month, but they faithfully stuck with that, which has kind of meant that we can pay the bills and keep the whole thing up and running. It's been a partnership project from the beginning, and 8 years on, we can say, you know what, it works. And of course, I'm in an interesting situation because I'm often talking to the heads of other radio stations, and they kind of look at us sideways and think, you know, how do you guys kind of do it? You know, and we have to honestly say, well, look, honestly, we are a walking miracle, you know, but it's that partnership with you, the listener. You've kept us on air. This is a great time to say a huge thanks to you because we're celebrating this partnership. Thank you.
We wouldn't be here without the support of the listeners. And of course, we certainly wouldn't be here. And the biggest thanks has to go, of course, to God.
He's the one who sustained us. He's given us the vision. He's the one who gives us the energy to get out of bed every day. And, you know, sometimes we find ourselves looking at something and we come up with some sort of little kind of creative idea. And then you look back and you say, that was the Holy Spirit. He was guiding us. He was nudging us. He was pushing us. So it's a great sense of, okay, we're in this together. Yeah.
Well, thank you to all those listening to us this morning for helping keep Spirit Radio growing and on the air. Thank God for all he has done with us and for his faithful providence over the last 8 years. Rob, yeah. Here's to many, many more.
Yeah, absolutely. Indeed. God bless now. Thanks you.
Thanks for listening to our Spirit Radio podcast. Don't miss out. Subscribe today. Find out how at spiritradio.ie.